welcome to a special brewery showcase episode of
Brutal Battle.
It's another one, because if people listen in order, they know that last week it was a brewery showcase episode, and it was Evil Twin, the Gypsy Brewer. So this time around, we're tying it in, and we're doing, you know, like a double. You get two showcases in a row, but we're tying it into the Evil Twin one, so we will be doing
Westbrook Brewing.
And that is Nathan Kolasnik on the podcast, and there's a particular reason that we're doing Westbrook. Actually, two reasons. One, Nathan recently went to Westbrook, very recently. And two, Evil Twin has a lot of their beers done at Westbrook. So, figured it marries in pretty well. Nathan wanted to go ahead and do one of these showcase episodes because he brought some beers back, and I will not turn that down. So, yes, we're going to make it happen. Actually, you know what? I feel like I did for the Evil Twin episode, why don't we just start a beer immediately?
Start a beer immediately. Before we start a beer immediately, I came bearing presents again.
Oh.
So what I have for you, it's also one of the beers we're going to try. Oh. It's the barrel-aged Oud Bruin.
It's bourbon barrel-aged Oud Bruin by
Westbrook.
Actually,
is that the cold one? Yeah, that's the colder one. Cold. I'll give you, present you the warmer one.
Oh,
we'll drink the colder one.
So one of them's for me to keep.
One's for you to keep.
Oh, and then one we're going to try.
One we're going to try.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, and it's a bourbon barrel-aged Oud Bruin, sour brown ale aged 2 years in bourbon barrels. It's from their Barrel Room Reserve series, 8% alcohol by volume. That's awesome. But we will actually touch on this
last, I believe.
Oh, yeah, definitely last. It's really sour because Oud Bruin's the most sour of the sour, pretty much. And bourbon barrel age, you want to say that to last. So we'll talk about it again then, but thank you very much.
You're very much welcome.
Very, very excited about that. But what are we going to start with?
We're going to start with quite possibly one of my favorite beers from Westbrook. It is the One Claw. It's a pale ale. It's actually a rye pale ale, so it makes it very interesting. And this is the only year-round beer that I brought. The other three are kind of special beers that they do, that they age and all that jazz.
And if I remember correctly, this beer was on the podcast once before, and it was because you used it in the beer knife fight against me.
Yes.
So it has been on before, but this is a nice beer.
It says, One Claw is a rye pale ale made with a heavy handful of malted rye and scoops of our favorite hop varieties. One Claw is dedicated to those who bring a Westbrook home to a friend's or any... One Claw is dedicated to those who bring a Westbrook home to a friend's or anywhere delicious beer is needed. Cheers to you, fellow One Claw. That's what...
And you have chosen to bring it to Maryland this time around, so...
Best served at 45 degrees. Enjoy within 90 days from the date on the bottom of this can.
Yep.
So...
Typically a good idea with hoppy beers, 90 days. Go ahead and crack it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. It's been a while. Actually, I think the last time I had the One Claw was when we had that beer knife fight. So it's been some serious time for me. Just pour me a little bit because we'll be doing a decent amount of talking, and then we'll end up moving to the next one after that.
Is that good?
All right. Yeah, that's good. So let's go ahead and talk about this sucker. Hazy, very cloudy.
Yes, and that is actually something I learned on my tour, that they prefer more unfiltered because it does carry more of the flavor, and the only reason why they prefer to actually filter their beer is to make it look better. So they prefer to keep it a little more unfiltered if possible because it tastes better.
So we're like, we don't need this to look beautiful. We just want it to taste more flavorful if we can. It's like an orangish yellow coloration to it. Yeah, very hazy.
Kind of like orange peel flavored, I guess you would say.
It's just like a ridiculously robust nose.
And that's what's really exciting about this beer because it is a pale ale, but it...
Yeah, it smells like an Imperial IPA, basically.
If you didn't know any better, you would think you were drinking an IPA.
Yeah, and it's so much grapefruit scent to it. There's a little bit of bitterness on the nose, but it's not much. It's really overpowered by that, like, fresh grapefruit.
By the fruity aspect of it as opposed to the bitterness.
A little bit of a grassiness in there, too. I mean, it's so... And actually, since I know that it's a rye, I'm able
to
pick out...
You do get a little bit of that spice.
A little bit of the rye spice character, yeah. It just smells like this. The scent just jumps right up your nose. And it's... I want to say it's offensive, but in the best way offensive, you know? Mm-hmm. Because it surprises you. With how robust the nose is, you're like, whoa, kind of taken aback, but it's so pleasurable. So you took your first sip.
I did take a little bit of a sip. It's good. It is good.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So as is the case with a lot of beers, the flavor's a little more dialed back than the nose, mm-hmm. With the grapefruit aspect, but all the notes are still there.
Yeah, and you get more of the bitterness from the grapefruit, yes. on the taste, as opposed to on the nose, you're getting more of like the fruitiness of it. So it's a little bit backwards from taste and nose.
I agree with that. And I am tasting the rye in there. Definitely tasting rye, and it's marrying very well with the bitterness, very well with the grapefruit aspects. And there is that kind of grassy note in there as well. Mm. It's a good beer. Will you continue to sip on that? I'll sip on mine a little bit, and I'll go a little bit over, you know, the backstory on Westbrook. There actually isn't a ton to say about the backstory on Westbrook. They haven't been around for like decades or anything
it
like that.
It should be 5 years. They just released their 5-year anniversary. And I think that they came around, I don't know if you have the information, but I think around Christmas time, because this is when they released their anniversary beers.
Yeah, they actually opened in early 2011, and they're located in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. And they opened an 18,000 square foot brewery when they first opened, but it was noted that they actually have a lot of room potentially for expansion if they decide to do that in any
They point. They are in the process of expanding, and parking lot next door is kind of like a warehouse, and they've already started moving some stuff over there for storage.
That's awesome. So did they say anything about when to expect the expansion to be done or in full force?
She didn't really say, but I mean, outside the building, it has like the construction site sign that shows like kind of like the plan of what the building's like going to look like when they're all done, I guess, renovating it. So I think it's pretty near future. They're working on it. I mean, if they already have, they're already storing some of their kegs, and they moved, I think they said most of their canning or bottling assembly over there. So they've expanded, but they haven't officially, they're not officially utilizing that space quite yet.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks for that extra info. So Westbrook is actually named after a husband and wife who opened that brewery. It's Edward and Morgan Westbrook. And it really started out with Edward having a real passion for homebrewing. And he started homebrewing back in 2005. And as he had been homebrewing, he was doing at least like one batch per week of brewing, which in my opinion is a lot of brewing. That really is, especially because most likely he had like a regular job at that point in addition. So to be able to work a job and then brew once a week, that's big commitment. So then they eventually opened up, and as we know, they do a decent amount of Evil Twin beers there, and they apparently also do a little bit of Stillwater Artisanal Ales contract brewing there as well. So bringing in a few of the Gypsy Brewers, which is cool. So I'd say let's jump to the next beer already.
Let's jump to the next beer.
Let's not waste time.
Let's see.
And then the rest of the information I have really is what their different releases are. And then I want you to kind of talk about your experience, because that's what's most important.
So we're going to go with this one. It's a Whiskey Sour Weiss Weiss Baby.
Oh, wow.
It says stop, commence the sippin'. Westbrook is back with a brand new invention with this not-so-traditional twist on our German-style Berliner Weiss. We take our regular Weiss Weiss Baby base beer and age in bourbon barrels and infuse it with fresh lemons before bottling.
Wow.
This is bottled the end of November.
First of all, I like Berliner Weiss beers, and whiskey barrel aging on that, I kind of don't even know what that would do to it. Maybe give it a little bit of a sweetness?
I guess we'll find out. But basically, when we had talked to the one bartender, the one beer they had on tap was a Margarita Goza. Mm, and
heard about that.
Perfectly nailed a margarita. Like,
really?
And it was aged in tequila barrels as well. Perfectly nailed a margarita. Like, if you gave it to somebody, they wouldn't necessarily know they were drinking beer. Like, they perfectly nailed it. And the bartender was telling us about the bottles that they had, and he said that he feels that this Weiss baby is as close as you can get to like drinking like a whiskey sour.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens here when we...
With my experience with limited experience I have with sours in Westbrook, I think they do a really good job. I know that I've had their regular Goza before, and that's a really nice Goza. I think a lot of people really like that beer. Also, we just on the Evil Twin episode, we had their Mission Goza. I mean, I know it is an Evil Twin beer, but Westbrook was actually the brewery that executed that beer, and it was done so well. So I'm very excited to try this. I'm sure it will be good because, I mean, hey, they do a good job. Mm. Oh, this looks filtered, actually.
Yes, this looks very filtered.
Although it may not be. There may just not have been a whole lot of particulate in it from the get-go.
Looks a lot like apple juice.
Yeah, with a little brownish, a little orangish. Not much of any head to it, which I guess makes sense because of the barrel aging. A lot of times when you barrel age, you don't get as much of a head to the beer then. Oh my gosh. I definitely smell the whiskey.
Yes, you get lemon and whiskey on the nose.
Yeah, it is like lemon, whiskey, caramel and vanilla in there. You get some of those oaky barrel notes. It's a very complex nose, to be honest. Because you actually have like the sweet and toasty notes that you would get from the barrel. You have those caramelly, you know, rich notes from the whiskey, and then you have the lemon and the sour tartness from the Berliner Weiss style and the lemon that's added. That's really, really funny.
Very interesting, and it does smell like a whiskey sour, I'd say.
You can clearly smell every component of what went into the beer, which is very impressive. And is pretty exciting, and especially because none of those notes are outplaying any of the other notes. They're all kind of like equal parts. Oh, so you already took a sip and you look pretty impressed.
I didn't know what to expect, and that was not what I was expecting at all.
Ooh.
It's tingly in your mouth. You get the lemon. The whiskey plays it's very backseat. You get more of kind of the flavor than any, like, actual whiskey in it.
Well, it's interesting because, to me, it starts sour.
Mm-hmm.
The middle, you get whiskey flavor with some vanilla and caramel and the oaky notes. And then the end is a sour finish.
Yeah.
So it's like the whiskey peaks up in the middle of your taste and then goes away. And that's really interesting. I've never experienced
beer. It's a very pleasant beer.
It is.
There's nothing offensive about it. It's very well-rounded.
Mm. I like what the whiskey has done to that. It also gives it... I do feel like throughout you do get a woody characteristic.
Yes.
Even though I was saying that you get the whiskey kind of in the middle, I think you get the woody character all the way through.
From the barrel.
And the sourness is not... Like, it's significant, but it's not too much.
No.
Like, it makes the sides of the back of my tongue tingle a bit, but not a crazy amount. But you know it's a sour, and you know that it's very lemony as well.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
I like it.
It's damn tasty.
4.5%.
4.5.
So the whiskey really doesn't play much of a role in it. It's just there for the flavor.
Yeah. And the flavor's good. Wow. That's a good one. Thanks.
You are welcome.
Thank you to you, and thank you to Westbrook.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just going to give a rundown of the different beers that they've had.
Okay.
It may have changed since the information that I found, but this was what they had at one point, at least. Plus, keep in mind, like with this Weiss baby, they're putting out new stuff all the time, so they have one-offs all the time. So they're year-round beers. They have a White Tie, which is a Belgian wit. They have a straight-up IPA, which I've had, and in my opinion, is a very piney, East Coast-style IPA.
Yeah, it's more of the malt-forward IPA than it is, citrusy or hoppy.
And then they had a Vanilla Tree Double, which is a double, Belgian double, which that had, originally in that spot, had been a Belgian pale ale, and then they decided to put the Vanilla Tree Double in its place. Their seasonal beers were Covert Hops, which is a black IPA. They had a Farmhouse IPA, a Citra Rye Pale Ale, which sounds interesting. Cowboy Meets Farmer, which is a wheat. Saison, a Märzen style, which is an Oktoberfest style. And Dark Helmet, which is their Schwarz beer. which I have had, and it has a lot of nice chocolatey notes to it. It's a good beer. Their special collection series, they have one called Batch 1, which is a pale ale, which was actually the first pale ale they ever did, so they kept that recipe around. Their Lichtenhainer Weiss beer, Belgian IPA, Belgian Triple, an American Bitter, a Zwickel beer, which is like a German-style lager, Citrus Ninja Exchange, which is a double IPA, which I've heard a lot about, but I've never had myself. And Smokin' Guns, which is an Imperial Stout. Then they have an anniversary series, which is, everybody knows, Mexican Cake. I'm sure you've heard of it. We had it on the show a bunch of episodes ago. Very good beer. It's an Imperial Stout with cocoa nibs, vanilla beans, cinnamon sticks, and fresh habanero peppers, and it is awesome. And then they always have kind of like a rotating anniversary beer that they end up putting out. And then their Barrel Room series, obviously it's changed because the one we already talked about, that bourbon barrel aged beer, Oud Bruin, that's obviously from their Barrel Room series. But when they were early on doing that series, they had just three different versions of a wine barrel aged triple, which I thought was really interesting. And they were 2008 Whetstone Bella Vina Pinot Noir French Oak aged triple, a Rombauer Single Vineyard Cabernet Sauvignon French and American Oak aged triple, and a Tiger Mountain Malbec American Oak aged triple.
Interesting.
Which, that one's especially interesting to me because you don't often see beers aged in Malbec barrels. You also don't often see people buying Malbec wines because it's a very polarizing wine. Either you love it or you hate it. I've barely ever found anyone who's in the middle on that type of wine. So to see Malbec barrel aging was just very surprising to me and interesting. But like I said, I'm sure things have changed. It was actually kind of hard to find information about Westbrook. And because I'll tell you, on their website, which is where you should be able to get the most information, this is all they have about themselves. Westbrook Brewing is a craft brewery in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Our mission is to make the most interesting, drinkable, and generally awesome beer possible. We love experimenting with different ingredients and brewing techniques, and we hope you'll have as much fun drinking our beer as we do making it. And that's it. There's no, this is the year we started, this is who we are, this is what we like to do. I mean, it's just very plain, which is what we experienced when we did the off-color brewing episode. It's, you know, it's limited, but you find what you can. So the most important stuff will really be Nathan talking about his experience and what other intellectual gems he picked up from his tour at Westbrook. So
it was probably, except for the fact that I went to South Carolina to visit my parents for Christmas, it was the highlight of my trip. I was so excited to go. They live in Columbia, so it was only like a two and a half hour drive down to the Charleston area to go there. We got off the highway and then we went through kind of like a narrow road through like an industrial area. And then it was the funny thing is their brewery is actually next to, a trampoline place. Like,
oh really? Kind of like a bounce house
yeah,
type.
Yeah. Wow. So like the next like building over. So it's kind of strange. You're going through like an industrial area. Erica said it reminded her going to, I think 10 Barrel or Half Acre.
Okay.
In Oregon, how it's just kind of like out in the middle by itself in like a weird place. And then when we pulled into the parking lot, I kind of thought we were in the wrong place because the parking lot was only like 6 or 7 cars. And it really stunned me because all the beer I've had from them is really good. So I assumed it was going to be something big, kind of like
packed like
Trogues or, yeah. You know, they have like a really big parking lot.
Yeah.
But it was a relatively small building. And so we parked and went in, and the inside's really nice. They have a kind of like a circle-shaped bar, and then the stools are wood with a kind of like the butt area kind of like carved out. So they're really, really nice bar stools. And then off to the right, they had some like picnic table-style tables to sit at. And then the left side was bottles of beer with T-shirts and other merchandise. And then they also had a cooler with 6 packs of like their One Claw IPA and their White Tie. And they actually, it was neat because they had like a TV screen with showing like the tap, what they had on tap It was, I think they had, it was hard to say. I think it was like 10 beers on tap, because when we got there, we were actually the only ones there. And then a lot of people showed up shortly after, and they ended up kicking like 3 kegs and added on like 3 or 4 more beers while we were there. So it's hard to say how many they had on tap.
So everyone kind of followed you guys.
Yeah, everybody followed. Apparently it was some like beer tour that came in after us. And then their taps were about evenly split between their beers and Evil Twins. It might have been 6 of theirs and 4 of Evil Twins.
Oh, nice.
So we got some samplers, and I thought it was a really good price. You got 4 5-ounces for $6.
Okay.
And that didn't discriminate. We were able to get a sampler of the Mexican cake.
Really?
And it was, yeah.
And no extra charge on that.
No extra charge.
Wow.
It was whatever 4 you wanted.
Actually, 4 for $6 is cheap.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, other than that, the lowest I've heard is like 4 for $8.
Yeah, it was very good. There were, I think, 3 bartenders there. They're all really nice and really accommodating. So that was a lot of fun. And they do tours the top of every hour.
Cool. Well, let's save the information on the tour and let's do another beer.
All right, our next one here is...
Ooh, it's a small bottle.
Breton Momices.
What?
This is a barrel reserve series. It is, let's see if it tells. It's a Belgian style pale ale. This one is aged 4 years in French oak red wine barrels and dry hops shortly before bottling.
Oh, interesting.
100% bottle condition, 7% ABV. Mm. So the funny thing is they have a Breton Nomices.
Okay.
And the Nomices has only been aged 1 year.
Okay.
And I think it's funny because it's Brettanomyces and it's Breton Momices or Breton Nomices. So it's kind of like a play on the Brettanomyces.
One with Brettanomyces and one without.
I think they both use it, but if you just like say the word, like it's almost Brettanomyces. So I think it's really cool that it came out like that. So we'll pop that open and see what happens.
So the one is with Brettanomyces. And this one is more, so it's Brettanomyces. Oh, that's pretty funny. You know, we talk on the show all the time about names and how the naming is like out of control and this like the stupid hop puns and stuff like that. But I feel like it took a lot to come up with that one. That one is a,
I think it's really sharp and clever.
A thinker's beer name, in my opinion. So that's pouring very brown, like a little, it's got an orangish tinge, but it's pretty brown, like a light brown coloration to it. Looks kind of a little viscous.
Yeah.
Tad bit. Not a whole lot of head to it. I mean, barrel age, so you would assume that. I smell Brett, like.
You get Brett and then like the wine barrel.
Yeah. I do get a little bit of a winey characteristic on there. A little bit of, like, grape. I'm at a point where I know Brettanomyces so well that as soon as I smell it, I'm like, that's Brettanomyces. The mixture of, like, that tartness with that funky aspect, and it's a wonderful smell to me. Anytime I smell that Brettanomyces, I'm like, oh, yes, thank you so much. But that's mainly what I smell. Yeah, you get a little bit of an oakiness in there. There's a little bit of a woody, oaky character. But to me, it's mainly Brett, sour, and a little bit of that wine grape characteristic. It smells good. Going in. Wow, it's really smooth. Even more smooth than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Mm.
So, it hits you with a sourness, but it's not a crazy sourness, which... is, you know, there's a tendency for that with Brettanomyces. It gives a lot of funk, and then it gives a little bit of tartness to it. And that's exactly what's at play right here. There's funk and a little tartness. And then you get a lot of the oak. A lot of the oak characteristic, and you're getting a little bit of, I feel like a little bit of caramelly note out of it.
Yeah.
And some vanilla aspects to it as well. But those are kind of subtle. Mm. I get red wine too. I get that red wine.
I do get a little bit of
and
red wine.
The bitterness is medium low.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I was actually kind of expecting a little more bitterness, but that's a good thing when it's less bitterness than I was expecting. So, yeah, that's pretty good. Mm. All right, so.
You do get like that dry hopped aspect from it.
Yeah, there is some hoppy characteristic, just kind of like playing on the top of it. I get so much funk though.
Yeah,
like so much funky Brett character.
I guess that's what,
and I like it.
What 4 years would do, because it says it's bottle conditioned, so I assume they just dump the Brettanomyces in there and put it in the cellar or in the dark room for 4 years and. They see what happens.
It's like, you go, Brett. And do your thing.
It went and did its thing, because it's pretty funky. This might be one of the more like funky mm-hmm. beers I've had.
This is definitely higher funk on the Brett spectrum as far as beers I've had. And I like it. I like it.
I feel like that's a big gamble too, because Brett's kind of a wild thing, and you just to throw it in and, you know, shut the door for 4 years and hope that it comes out good. That's a big gamble, but I think it paid off pretty well.
Well, I think that also, and I don't know how often this happens, you know, if you do something like that and you do your quality control properly, you take a taste of it, see how it turned out. And then I'm sure there are instances where breweries just decide, you know what, didn't pan out, and they get rid of it. You know, I know Dogfish Head before, it, you know, it wasn't a sour beer or anything, but they had an issue with 120 minute, and they dumped it. You know, instead of sending it out and serving it to the public to get bad beer, they were responsible, and they said, you know, we can't serve this to anyone, we're just getting rid of it. So, and that's an expensive beer to make. So, but why don't you go ahead and tell us something about the tour?
The tour is pretty interesting. It wasn't. It was only the three of us. It was myself, my wife, and my mom. And my mom has no experience with anything beer related, so that was kind of interesting for her to see. And they just basically give us a very casual tour of the area. They showed us the grain room, and we got to munch on some of their grain, which was actually pretty tasty.
Yeah, that's always fun.
They showed us their bottling, or not bottling, but canning area. They actually used to hand package all their six packs.
Oh, that's a pain in the ass.
A few years ago, they finally got like a packager. And then they got a kind of like a more high tech canning line. It has a kind of like an X-ray machine to check the level to make sure, because they have to make sure the beer, it has a certain level in it, or else they can't sell it. And so it's a little X-ray machine, and it basically saved them a lot on having to ditch more beers than before, because they used to just do their quality control sample, you know, however many beers out of the pack, and if they tested low, they weren't necessarily able to pinpoint how many, so they would just have to get rid of, you know, this many around that number. So with this little X-ray machine, they can isolate which cans are low and only get rid of those ones.
That's cool.
So that was neat. And then the most interesting part was the barrel room.
They usually are the most interesting.
They had so many barrels. They were stacked probably like five high. They had at least 100 barrels of stuff.
Jeez.
Sitting, and it was both their stuff and Evil Twins. I saw some Evil Twin stuff in maple bourbon barrels, as well as they have a Mexican cake sitting in maple bourbon barrels.
Oh.
they have all sorts of things. They also have a huge lambic tub. So they're working on doing some lambic stuff. I don't know if it's for them or Evil Twin, but they have the huge huge barrel. Like, it's like 9 feet high and 10 feet across or something. It's a huge, huge barrel.
Yeah, I don't know if Evil Twin's ever done a lambic. I think that Westbrook has before, so I'm going to guess it's probably them. But you never know. Evil Twin could be working on it.
And the most disappointing part of the tour was...
leaving?
Yes, leaving, but the... I went down there hoping that they would have their fifth anniversary beer available so I could bring it home. And their fifth anniversary beer this year is a chocolate raspberry stout.
Oh, God, it sounds good.
And then we had that Margarita Goza, which was phenomenal. And walking through their canning and all that, you see the bottles of the Margarita Goza bottled and in the boxes ready to go. I just wanted to like grab a whole box and run away with it. But so that was probably the most disappointing part, because they said that it was probably going to ship out Tuesday or Wednesday, and I was leaving Wednesday. So
you didn't just like just, go up and be like, "Look, I'm from out of state."
I did. I told them I came all the way from Pennsylvania to try your stuff,
and that didn't work.
Didn't
you should have thrown a brutal battle out there. Be like, "There's this podcast, man. I'll get your stuff on it. It'll be awesome." Well, I mean, Westbrook, if you listen to this, which I'll email someone at Westbrook the link to this. If you're listening to it. Want that Margarita Goza? Is there a way we can make this happen?
I have my mom. She's going to go out to the store, I think, next week to get us some bottles. She'll actually probably have to ship them to you, because we can't ship to PA.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to get some bottles of the Margarita Goza in the 5th year anniversary. And then they have quite a bit, tanks and barrels and stuff like that. And they have one tank specifically for Brett. They have like a big, like a big tape on it and written in Brett. And they do their own Brett stuff, and they also do some Brett things for Evil Twin. And
so I do have a question about it. Is there Brett area? Is that cordoned off? Is it in its own area, or is it intermingled with everything else?
It was in the line of 6 or 7 tanks. So they just have it marked Brett, so they know.
Because I know there are some breweries that are just very, very scared about the potential for these bacteria like Brettanomyces to kind of jump over into other areas of the brewery. But I guess they are very meticulous with the way they clean, that they feel comfortable enough they can just have them right there without putting them in a special section. Well, that's good. But also, you did tell me something before we started recording about Evil Twin and Brettanomyces.
Yes, they actually do all the brewing for Evil Twin. Well, I guess half the brewing. They do. He also has a brewery in Connecticut somewhere that brews his beer, but they do the Brett stuff for him, because I guess the Connecticut brewery doesn't necessarily want to deal with all the extra cleaning that's with the Brett and the extra precautions to deal with the bacteria.
So everyone pretend that was on the Evil Twin episode. So, all right. Well, you want to get into the last beer?
Yeah, we can get into the last beer and we can talk about some of the other beers that I had while I was there.
The one that was already teased sounds unbelievable.
Yes. Bourbon barrel aged Oud Bruin. It's a sour brown ale aged 2 years in bourbon barrels.
This will be interesting for me, because I have found Oud Bruin to be the most sour. It typically has a lot of vinegary notes, and I don't know how I'm going to react to it, because typically Oud Bruins are rough for me.
And it's 8%.
Kind of surprised it's not higher for being bourbon barrel aged.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it is a sour, and sours typically aren't like real high. Oh my gosh, that's really dark. That's really dark.
Yeah.
That scares me. That scares me a little bit. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't even remember last time I had an Oud Bruin, but I do remember it was tough. Like I said, it's very dark. It's very red. It's like brown red. I can't even, like, through...
You have to hold it up to, like, the light.
To see through it,
To see through it.
Like, right up to the light. It actually smells really good.
Yeah.
It smells like there's a decent amount of sourness in there.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be overly sour. No. Just off the nose.
There's definitely bourbon characteristic in the nose. It's like sweet vanilla caramel.
Yep.
Definitely getting the oak once again. That smells really good. And the sourness is actually kind of under those smells. It is predominantly the barrel that I smell in this. And then you get on the back end of this, of each smell, that sour aspect. Well, I'm hoping that it's going to make it a lot sweeter than an Oud Bruin typically is. Oh, yeah. The sourness is significantly more dialed back than I would expect.
It's kind of held in check by the bourbon barrel. Like, it's almost like with a Warhead or something like that. Like, the bourbon flavor is on like the outside layer, and like the sour is inside, and the sour can't quite escape. it out from the bourbon.
That's actually a really good way to put it. It really is like the bourbon flavor encapsulates the sour. And it just kind of like, it lets you taste it, but it's always there as a buffer.
Yep.
That's actually a good point. I get a lot of bourbon flavor in this, which I really like. I get a lot of those oaky, caramelly, vanilla notes in there. And then I get that kind of really predominant sour, but it's not sticking around. It's hitting you for a little bit, and then it's back to those bourbon notes. This is good.
That's very good.
I'll tell you, my taste buds know it's sour because it feels like they're standing up on my tongue.
And you're like drooling.
Yeah, it is producing a lot more saliva right now. That's good, though. Bourbon barrels and sour.
Who would have thought?
It goes very well. And that is,
on the tour, Leslie, she was our tour guide. She's also she only works there part-time. She's actually a chemistry teacher.
Oh, really?
So she said it's really exciting, like, doing the tours and, like, on their barrels and stuff like that, they have, like, you know, the charts of things, and her being a chemistry teacher, you know, they actually kind of mean something to her, and they have, like, all the ingredients and stuff that go into their beers. But since we were there and that big brew tour came through, they kicked a couple kegs, so we got to try a couple different things when we came back on the tour. So they had their normal Mexican cake, which is the first time I ever had it. I thought it was great. I love the fact that it wasn't super spicy from the chilies. It was more just like a little pop of it to let you know it was there. It wasn't overbearing. But they also had it was a coconut version, and that was really good. And I don't even really like coconut. And that beer was amazing.
That speaks volumes. If you don't like coconut and you like
it. It was very, very well done. Like I said, their fifth anniversary is out, and that's a chocolate raspberry stout. And then we had their Margarita Goza, which was excellent. One of the beers that the bartender actually talked me into was their Bearded Farmer 5.
What's that?
It's a Saison. And
that's Saisons.
Because what happened was we got there a little after noon, so at 1 we were going to do the brewery tour. So Eric and I each got a flight. And then when we came back, some of the kegs kicked, so they added new things. So we're trying to make another full four beer sampler. And he's like, you should try the Bearded Farmer. I was like, I'm not typically into Saisons. And he said, this one's doesn't really fall into that typical Saison farmhouse style. So we tried it, and it was really good. It was probably like the best Saison I had. That farmhouse funk wasn't the prominent flavor you got. You got a lot more of like the other flavors. I forget what they used in it, but like more of the other flavors were coming through. Instead of the funk.
So that's typically your big problem with Saisons. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the funk.
And then also their bourbon barrel, they had a bourbon barrel aged second anniversary beer, and that one is a Baltic Porter.
Oh, like Baltic Porters. They usually have a little bit of a salty quality.
This one was not salty, so I don't know if that dissipated with the bourbon there. That beer was phenomenal. And then also a Lactobacillus Guava Grove from Cigar City came on top.
Oh, that sounds good.
And that was extremely tasty. You got that guava flavor, and that was very exciting and very different. Some of the Evil Twin stuff I tried they had a Bozo, and I believe that one's a stout. It's like 17.2%.
That's high.
It's a big monster, but it was very well done, and I liked it a lot. Erica wasn't a super big fan of it because I think it was a little high for her. My mom definitely didn't like it. She doesn't drink beer in general. So we learned she definitely doesn't like bourbon barrel aged stuff. But she...
Well, if you don't like beer and then you jump directly to that, right, it's really tough.
She really liked the Margarita Goza, and she actually liked the Bearded Farmer 5.
Cool.
So that was awesome. I tried Evil Twins Calypso Single Hop Imperial India Pale American Wheat Lager.
Interesting.
That one was so cloudy. It looked like... the orange juice with extra pulp in it. It's kind of like that hazy and so much stuff going on. The only thing I didn't like about that beer is I'm not a big fan of like that lager straw hay taste. But the Calypso hops were very pleasant. So that was good. And we had the Biscotti Break by Evil Twin.
Really, and that's good, a beer.
Very good beer. And trying to think of what else we had. We had the White Tie. That was that was good. Have like the ginger and everything like that's always very unique in a beer. Trying to think if there's anything else.
Well, it sounds like you had an awful time at Westboro.
It was the best time. So we had three flights of beer. We got a full glass of the Mexican cake coconut for the tour.
That's probably the best way to have a tour.
Yeah. So that was great. And then I bought a One Claw t-shirt. I bought a six-pack of One Claw. We bought two Weiss babies because Erica expected she was going to like it.
Yeah,
We got two of the Oud Bruins, one for you, Carlin.
Appreciate
and then we
that.
Got the Brett Mo Mices because Erica's a big fan of sours. So she thought that was going to be her alley, and I think it's going
to
be.
And something I wanted to talk about. While you were there, you sent me a picture of their vintage bottle list that they have for only on-premises consumption, which, I mean, I saw it and I was extremely jealous and impressed, and I was like, I want all of it. They have a bunch of different versions of Mexican cake available there to drink, and it was insane to me how many. Like, I'll read it off. They had the 2014 and the 2015 vintage of Mexican cake, just straight up. Then they had a coffee version of Mexican cake. And then they had a bunch of different barrel versions. These are all the different barrels. Jack Daniels, red wine, apple brandy, bourbon, tequila, double barrel, bourbon again from a different vintage, cognac, double chocolate, and Pappy Van Winkle. When I saw that list, I believe I texted you and said, I actually would pay the $115 for that bottle of the Pappy Van Winkle Mexican cake just to taste that thing. Because, A, I know Pappy Van Winkle is supposed to be amazing, and I've never had anything Pappy Van Winkle. And, B, it's Mexican cake. So having amazing Pappy Van Winkle with amazing Mexican cake, I just want that experience, you know? So I'd pay the $115 for that.
I tried to convince Erica to make the tequila barrel one my my Christmas present.
Oh yeah.
But I mean that was $100 and it's hard to rationalize.
They're all
expensive. If it's worth it or not. And that was just the Mexican cake stuff that they had. They had like another more above that and on the other page of other like random stuff that they have like barrel aged and things of that nature.
Well, a few of these on here were $200.
Yeah.
Like the 2013 Apple Brandy, the 2013 Red Wine, and the 2013 Jack Daniels. Those three were $200.
And like, Apple Brandy, she touched on that during in the barrel room, that it takes so much. There's so many things a barrel has to go through to become an Apple Brandy barrel.
Mm.
So that's why it's so expensive. It's like it can't even become an Apple Brandy barrel until it's something, it's the barrel has been used and been aging things for at least 12 years.
Jeez.
Or something, 10
That's
to 12 years.
Work.
So there's at least 10 or 12 years of aging and then some other things that it has to go through before it becomes an Apple Brandy barrel.
Wow. Well, I will say that it's frustrating that they have like the on-premises only bottle list just from the aspect of you want to be able to take it home to enjoy it at your house, but I also like that they have it because, and I understand it because
for all the beer nerds, that's a very good reason to go.
Right, it gets people there to enjoy it, and otherwise, I think you probably get people who would just stop in because they want to grab it, buy it, and trade it, as opposed to actually enjoy it. So I understand it for that aspect. And actually, I mean, seeing that beer list kind of makes me want to make a trip because I feel like it would be worth it.
And so. I mean, Charleston—it's only 20 minutes from Charleston, so I mean,
oh,
it's
cool.
It's very we went into Charleston afterwards, and it's a very nice area to walk around in. So it would definitely be worth like an extended weekend trip in Charleston and popping up to the brewery for an afternoon.
Awesome.
But
well, thank you so much for A, sharing all these beers with me, and B, giving us your experience at Westbrook. It's awesome. I loved hearing it. I hope all the listeners, and I'm sure they did, love hearing it. But this is basically the end, so I want to find out. I'll tell you what I think. I can go first or second, whatever you prefer, but I want to know your ranking. Most favorite to least favorite of these four beers. They're all good, right? I mean, better than good, actually.
And that was the thing. I couldn't believe, like, because I'd only really had the staple beers from Westbrook, being like One Claw and the Dark Helmet, the Utterly Stout I brought on the Knife Fight. Mm-hmm. I think it was Infected. I mean, all their beers were good. And I just can't believe that how small the place was when I showed up, knowing that they had solid beers and they have a phenomenal, highly coveted beer such as Mexican Cake, and they've only been open, you know, 5 years. Like,
well,
it just like blew my mind. I was expecting like a really big place, and it was just really small, but they're doing it really right. I think they're doing it right. They have great product, and they're going to slowly expand and hopefully get a lot more popular.
Well, and if you think about it in a different way, I mean, a lot of people would think that way and be like, oh, well, if it's extremely quality, I would assume it's a big establishment that's been around for a long time. No, I look at it kind of in a different way. You know, when you haven't been around as long, you probably have more drive and passion. And on top of that, when you're small, you have a lot of control over the process, over the product. So it's kind of the best situation for putting out really good product, in my opinion. But, sir, if you want to go first, your ranking of best beer.
I think I'm going to go the Oudbruin.
Okay.
One Claw and Weiss Baby. All those two could be interchangeable. And then I guess my least favorite's the Breton Momices. But it's really hard to actually rank them because they're all very different and they're all done very well in what they're supposed to be.
I agree with that. When I'm giving mine, I think it's hard. It is hard to kind of put a order on them because they are so different and because they're all really good. But I think this was the toughest for me, one and two. I think they're very close, they're almost totally neck and neck. But I would go the Whiskey Barrel Aged Vice Baby as my number one. Then very close behind that Bourbon Barrel Aged Oudbruin. And then the Breton Momices. And then the One Claw. But I like them all. And I'm going to enjoy helping polish these off after the podcast. Oh, so good. I can't wait to share this with the ladies upstairs.
Yep, because I know, surprisingly, most of these beers are for Erica, actually. I got a six-pack of the One Claw, but she was really excited about the Weiss Baby and the other three that I brought.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to send this episode to Westbrook. So, Westbrook, thank you for making very nice beer. Thank you for giving a great experience to Nathan when he came down.
Great experience.
And if you feel so inclined to just send beers to the podcast or to just send us information about, you know, what you guys are up to, we'll certainly accept just information, anything you might want our listeners to know. You can just send us an email at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. I almost screwed that up. But thanks so much. Thank you, Nathan, once again.
You're welcome.
And everybody, don't forget,
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.